You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mark, for your welcome. I love how sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of sets the theme for the services, because Mark was referencing, you know, some dysfunction that we can have within our family. And today we're going to be doing a little bit of psychology as part of our text today. So we are have been looking through John's epistles, and today we're going to be having part one of two in John's third epistle. So I just wanted to give you a quick summary before we begin as to what would we say perhaps is the main theme for all of John's letters to the family of churches in Ephesus. And so if we could summarize it in one word, we'd probably say that it is letters reinforcing the need for fellowship. Fellowship with God, but also true fellowship with one another. That is a theme that comes up packaged in different ways that we've seen so far. However, he also highlights that there are these threats to this koinonia, to this true fellowship, that unless we deal with them and are aware of them, they can create dysfunction in our relationship with God and also with one another. And so some of the main threats to this fellowship is falsehood. And he lists three different types of falsehood. Secret sin, so that's in 1 John chapter 1 and 2. The antichrist and deceivers drawing people away from Christ, falsehood. And a lack of love, a lack of true agape love, also can threaten our fellowship with one another and also with God. Does that make sense? What we're going to look at that Steve will cover really next week is this dysfunction that exists between this leader called Diotrephes within the church. And that is disrupting and threatening the fellowship with God, but also with other people. So it's a really important lesson. But today, there's another type of falsehood that perhaps we can have, that where we don't maybe prioritize things in the right way. So that's what we're going to get to look at today. So let's begin with a word of prayer before we explore this a little bit further. Father, we're so grateful that we get to be your children, that constantly you are drawing us close to you. You're helping us to learn how to love. You're helping us to learn how to live a life of love and walk in love, which doesn't always come easy. Even as Mark said earlier, we can come from families with different levels of dysfunction, and that gets in the way, and it's difficult to overcome those barriers. But we thank you because of Jesus, you've given us a new start. God, you've given us a new heart. You've given us a new focus, that we don't have to focus on so much of the past, but we can focus on the future that you have created for us. God, today, please give us humble hearts to listen to your word, to learn things about ourselves that we need to, so that we can ultimately become more like your son. We thank you, and it's your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this is going to be our theme verse. We only have one verse from 3 John today. And John says, he writes this letter to his friend, and he says, "Beloved or dear friend, Gaius, I pray that in every way you may prosper and enjoy good health, as your soul also prospers." And it's a really nice greeting. I really like it because it's a great prayer that John is praying for his friend, and that we could and should be praying for one another. To pray for one another's good health, but also to pray for one another's prosperity. It's okay to pray for that. This is not a health and wealth gospel message, but it's saying here that God is concerned about our well-being, financially, within our health, and it's okay to pray for one another for those things. It's in line, isn't it, with Jeremiah 29. "I know the plans I have for you, plans for you to prosper, not to harm you, to give you hope and to give you a future." It's a great thing to be praying for one another. Now, however, what you notice in this is that John is referencing, or he frames this by saying, listen, I hope that you will do as well with your prosperity and with your health as your soul is doing. Do you see that? So he says, I pray that in every way you'll prosper, you'll enjoy good health, as your soul also prospers. So it seems that Gaius is doing really well spiritually. His soul is prospering. And as a result, John says, I really hope that the rest of your life is going as well as your soul is doing. And I think that's hopefully true for many of us. But sometimes we can focus on the health and wealth gospel as that's the thing that we should be chasing after. And sometimes we can neglect the soul prospering that apparently Gaius has got down. He's doing really well with that. So how today, this is the question for today, how is your soul? How is your soul doing? That's what we're going to be looking at today. Now, first of all, before we get into that, it's important that we even understand, well, what is the soul? So in the Old Testament, we have this word called nafesh, which you could perhaps summarize with these things. So it is our life, it is our breath. Perhaps we can think about in Genesis chapter 2, where God breathed into Adam and gave him life. Perhaps he breathed nafesh into him at that moment. It is, in the Old Testament, it is this sense of our eternal self, the part that hopefully will live on forever. It is the part of God's divine nature within us. That's the sense from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have a slightly different take on this, although it's very similar. It is our true essence. It's who we are as an individual. When you strip away all the flesh and bones, what we have left is our soul. It is the emotions or the seat of our emotions. That is our soul. And very interestingly, the word soul in Greek actually is psyche. So when we think of our psyche, it's actually talking about the soul. So when we say, hey, how is your soul doing? It's okay to question, well, how's my psyche doing? How am I doing psychologically? There's a link between the two. And in fact, today we know psychology is defined as the study of the mind. But you know what it started out as? The study of the soul. Isn't that interesting? The study of the soul. I read a really fascinating article in, I look at psychology today from time to time, and this came up, and it was fascinating. And it says, with the exception of these biologically based illnesses, psychology must come to be seen as the science of spiritual maturity. We call people neurotic, which kind of means overly sensitive or oversensitive, when in reality they are suffering from spiritual immaturity. Isn't that amazing? This is in psychology today. And the author here is saying, listen, yes, there are many things that perhaps need to be treated from a biological standpoint. But so many issues that people face is just simply a lack of spiritual maturity. I love that. If you're interested in reading that article, if you just type in psychology today and the study of the soul, it will show up. It's a great article. And so what it shows is that there is a link between emotional maturity and our spiritual well-being. So when we are emotionally mature, when we're dealing with maybe some of the baggage that we have in our lives, the way we were brought up, some of the dysfunction, it will help us to grow spiritually. Equally, when we're growing spiritually, we then become more equipped to deal with some of the emotional baggage that we may have within our lives. They go together hand in hand because psychology is the study of the soul. It's the study of our truest sense of who we are as individuals. So when John is saying to Gaius, hey, your soul is doing great, that is probably the greatest accolade someone could place on you. Because that is the one of the greatest things that we should be focusing on within our lives. So wouldn't it be great if we were going around and as we say, hey, how's work? How's life? how's your dog? That we would say, how's your soul? How's your soul getting along? That should be our normal conversation. Not, you look, if someone says that to you, you're likely to say, that's a bit weird, right? But actually, that is the most important question that we can be asking of one another. Let me encourage you, begin asking that question of yourself, how is my soul? But also of one another. Because after all, look what this says in 1 Peter chapter 1. The end result of our faith is the salvation of your soul. That is it. That is the final goal of you being here today, is for your soul to be that little bit more saved, that closer to salvation, that closer to heaven than it has been before. That is it. But it's so easy, isn't it, to run after so many things of the world, so many things that actually are not even going to count when the time is up. Because the only thing that counts is how well your soul is doing. So, if your soul was a plant, what would your soul look like? Would it look like this? Thriving, blossoming, flourishing, super healthy, never been healthier? Or would it look like this? Hey, we haven't even gone there yet. Or, there's another space, you see? Or, would it look like this? Thankfully, God has given us and equipped us with, you know when you buy a plant and you don't know how to take care of it, what does it have on it? A little care label, right? We also have a care label for the soul. So this is the 3 points today. Very brief, but there'll be enough hopefully. First of all, to look after your soul plant, you need to keep it watered and well fed. Secondly, you need to keep it away from harsh conditions. And thirdly, you need to keep it in direct sunlight. See, what the soul needs more than anything else to be its healthiest is to be in its perfect natural environment. And that environment is to be with its creator. And who is its creator? It is with God. So the healthiest place for your soul is with God. That's where it feels nourished. That's where it feels, where it belongs. That's where it feels at home. So let me give you an illustration. This is my dog. How cute is he? He's my family, our family dog, okay? So cute. His name is Paco. Handley looked after him the other day, and Paco made him pet him for 1 hour straight. So very, very, as you can see, very cute. Now, he is a dachshund. It's a badger hound, okay? Badger hound. And what, you'll understand why I'm sharing this in a minute. Bear with me. And dachshunds were bred to hunt badgers. So what they do is they go out into the woods and they burrow down into the badger sets to, to kill the badgers. Okay, that's what they do. That's his natural environment. Pretty much every day, he's not in his natural environment, so he just sleeps. You try to take him out on a walk, he's not really that interested because it's not his natural environment. He's like, why would I bother going outside when I can just lay here? You can pet me for an hour. When's Handley coming back? However, when we take him out to the woods, he comes alive in his natural environment. He just runs around sniffing everything. It's amazing. He's also discovered that when we take him to the beach, it's like his new favorite place. You know why? Because he gets to do this. He's exhausted. He was digging that for ages. So his favorite thing to do is to dig, because that's his natural environment. He was bred to dig like that. And he will just keep digging and digging. My son took him to the beach the other day to dig. He pulled him away and he was going crazy, screaming because he wanted to get back to digging again. Crazy dog. Crazy dog. He's in his natural environment. That is what it's like for our soul. That when we bring it into the presence of God, our soul is completely at home. Does that make sense? Yeah. Completely. Look at this verse in these verses in Psalm 42. So point one, keep watered and well fed. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with him? That's what your soul says every single day. Every day, it cries out for you just to open up the Word of God, to read it, to let it soak in and quench its thirst, just to be filled with some words from the Lord. Your soul is longing for you to take it out for a walk with God, for you just to go and spend time with Him. Sometimes we don't even know what to say, but just simply sitting and being in God's presence, your soul is at home. It pants just to be with its creator. This is a beautiful way to see our personal time with God. That you're simply bringing your soul into the presence of the Lord Almighty, the creator of your soul. Sometimes, though, we need to make sure we're feeding it. Because sometimes we can get into the routine of just kind of having that quiet time, and our soul's like, I need more. I need to go from kibble to something much more substantial. One of the brothers on Wednesday was, I really appreciate his humility, and said, you know, I spend time with God, but I feel like I'm not getting deep enough. What do you suggest? And sometimes we need help. We need to ask people, hey, how can I grow closer to God? What books can you recommend? All of that ultimately is for our soul to have a deeper connection with the Lord. Amen. Secondly, on our care list, is that we need to keep away from harsh conditions. So this verse here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and as exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. The Bible says that our very own sinful desires that we have wage war against our soul. You see, if our life's goal is the health of our soul plant, we have to protect it. And there is no greater threat, really, to our soul than sin. But to protect our soul from sin, we need to protect it from the desire. It starts from the place of desire. Sometimes we try to focus just on the behavior of that sin without really dealing with the root cause of that sin, which is an unhealthy desire. Does that make sense? So it says here, abstain from the sinful desires. You know, the fact is, if we're able to deal with the desires themselves, then sin will have no place within our lives. So we have to go to a deeper level of dealing. And so I have a verse missing. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. He says that those things, they don't just happen to come about by the behaviors themselves. They come from within a person. They come from desire first. So if we're able to deal with the desire first, the sins will never manifest themselves. So we have to think, what is behind my jealousy? You can't just say, I'm going to stop being jealous. You have to think, what is it that's behind the jealousy? What's the desire that is behind me envying that person? What is the thought that is behind the impurity, the desire to be impure? Where is that coming from? Why do I desire to lust? What need is not being met within me that I'm trying to meet in an unhealthy way? That's what Jesus is saying. Don't just change the behavior of the sin. Look to that deeper desire, because that's the thing that's really waging war. Now, not all desires are bad, by the way. But sometimes, even the healthy desires, like wanting to be in a relationship with someone, we can end up trying to fulfill those in unhealthy ways. So again, we have to make sure we look back to the desire. How can I get that desire? Is that a desire a good one? How can I get that met in a healthy way with God and within my community? Either way, though, we're called to abstain, to hold ourselves back from the desire. Then you won't even need to worry about holding yourself back from the sin. You know, no sermon recently is a full sermon without a Dallas Willard quote. So here's one for today. The soul is a power to live. It functions almost like a storehouse, and it picks up the results of your experiences, your feelings, ideas, beliefs, and structures in this world. And as it does, wounds accumulate. The ordinary person's life soon becomes dominated by these wounds. How true is that? How true is that? See, if we're not careful, those desires, whether they are desires that have caused harm to ourselves or someone else has caused those, their desires have caused harm for us, we just go through life wounded. And it's our soul that is paying the price. The article that I referenced earlier in Psychology Today, one of the bit that I really loved within the article says that being in a healthy relationship where we're able to have real conversation with one another is one of the most healing practices for our soul. We are really blessed to have this community. But we got to make sure it doesn't stay at just superficial level. But we really are allowing ourselves and equipping ourselves to go deeper. How are you really doing? What's really going on? I've noticed this. Is everything okay? When we go to that level, our soul is able to find some refuge in these deep and meaningful conversations with each other. Perhaps confessing sin. Perhaps having therapeutic talk with one another. So much of the turmoil that we place on our soul, not all of it, we bring by ourselves. We are the reason for that. So we have to learn, perhaps, how to do things differently, how to become more like Christ so that we can overcome those burdens. And that brings us me on to the final point. So keep in direct sunlight. One of the challenges, I think, of being in such, you know, a church is that we can sometimes learn the system of behavior of how do I live and act as a Christian. Anyone relate to that? Yes, we have these things that we have to do. But really, Jesus invited us into a relationship with him so that we can learn how to be like him in character. That is the goal. And so Jesus says here, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Remember, the word is psyche. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus knows that if we direct our souls to him by learning from him, remember, we are apprentices of Jesus, by learning how to be like him in character, then we will find rest for our souls. Our family of churches, unfortunately, I think over the years, we've developed a very narrow lens of discipleship. And quite often, it's only really focused around the mission. The mission is awesome. And if God calls us to that at different opportunities, we need to make the most of that. But is that it? You see, anybody can do the mission. You just need to be a good salesman. But here Jesus says, no, you're here to learn from me. You're here to learn how to be, to take on my character. That is so much more difficult. That takes humility, as it says. It takes gentleness of heart. It takes going so much deeper to discover what part of me do I need to change and let go so that I can truly become the likeness of Christ, not in my actions, but deep down in my character. And then guess what happens to the actions? They take care of themselves. But if we only ever focus on the action and the doing parts of Jesus, we could do that but completely neglect the deeper side of our character, which is that to become more like Christ. And I think, therefore, if we don't do that, there's turmoil. But what happens is, he says, listen, when you focus on learning to be like him in character, we will find rest for our souls. And I know, even for myself this year, getting some therapy, trying to go deeper, I feel more at peace than I've done in a very long time. Very long time. Because I'm learning to become more like Jesus in any given situation. But it takes work to do that. It takes work to get there. So, the question today, how is your soul? So what I'd like us to do for just a couple of minutes discussion, I would like you to discuss this question with one another. How is your soul doing? And which one of the three care label instructions do you feel like you perhaps need to lean into to help your soul to become more healthy? Now, if you didn't write them down, I don't have it up here for you because you need to learn to make notes, okay? And if you want a notebook to learn how to take notes, we're selling them at the back. But honestly, we need to be writing stuff down, okay? It makes a difference. It really does. It helps us to really value the Word of God when we do that. Okay? So if you didn't write them down and you've forgotten them, then just talk to the people around you and write them down next time. All right. So, couple of minutes. How is your soul? And which one of those three care label instructions do you feel like you need to lean into and God is calling you to? Just a couple of minutes discussion, and then we'll come back and pray for the communion. Okay, let us have a look at this scripture before we take communion together. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Our souls long and desire to be with Jesus. Jesus has made that relationship stronger and more possible than ever before by going to the cross for us. And all he asks is that we continue to die to sin and to live for righteousness so that our soul can thrive and flourish and blossom and bloom. And I tell you what, healthy souls are contagious. And if you're in a community with healthy, prospering souls, God does the rest. He really does. But that's all he asks for us, just to remember that Jesus has made all of this possible and just simply spend time with him each and every day. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you have blessed us with giving our souls an overseer and a shepherd. Thank you that our souls are not wandering around this world, this existence, aimlessly being wounded by bad choices, bad decisions, by people, by ourselves, but we have a shepherd who is guiding and protecting and overseeing the wellness of our soul. We pray, Father, that we will simply learn from Jesus each and every day by placing ourselves within your presence, saying no to sin, saying yes to righteousness, spending time with you, and remembering that Jesus is the one who has made this possible through his incredible sacrifice. God, we can no way do this by ourselves, but because of your Son, we have hope, we have a future, and we have an amazing relationship with you. We thank you, Father. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his sacrifice. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.